welcome to another edition of Authors in Their Own Right. This series of podcasts features interviews with Canadian authors discussing their works and experiences, and is brought to you by the Canadian Authors Association National Capital Region. And now, here is your host, an author in her own right, Joanne L. Trombley.
Hello, everyone. We're going to have fun today as we meet and talk with Celia Adams, author of Dinner at the Dog Pound. Dinner at the Dog Pound is a poetic children's book that is pure and delightful fun. The story is set to rhyme, is humorous and downright exuberant. Sylvia captures emotion, movement, and action expressed in words with complimentary illustrations by Ben Chung. The artwork is a curious mixture that is both childlike and sophisticated. The color palette emphasizes bright and stunning colors, and the faces reveal a wide range of feelings. Dinner at the Dog Pound is a children's book that you would want to curl up with that special child in your life and then dance with the words as you laugh. Hello, Sylvia.
Hello, Joanne. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. What moved you to write Dinner at the Dog Pound?
Well, believe it or not, I started it about 40 years ago when my big kids were little, and it was just a description of a banquet at the dog pound. And then 3 or 4 years ago, I decided to make it into a story. So I invented the chief character and put a frame around the story with a happy ending. Part of the reason that it took me so long to do this, I think, was that although I didn't realize it, I had to wait for my artist grandson to do the illustrations. Ben Chung is that fabulous artist who did them.
Oh, well, hey, the wait was worth it. Oh, the artwork was just absolutely phenomenal. Now, I just had so much fun reading the book. The words flow with fantastic rhythm and timing. I could almost sing the story. As a poet and writer, can you help us understand how you maintain this structure yet flow?
Oh, that's a difficult question. I don't know. Sometimes these things just happen on their own. You somehow start and gain a momentum, and you're not quite sure where it does come from. So I think that's about the only answer I have.
Oh, well, no, that's a wonderful answer, because it is about the flow, and what this sounds like is it was a very organic kind of process.
Yeah.
Does that make a bit of sense here?
I think so. And I think, too, I was used to telling stories to my own kids and making up stories when they were small, always with the idea of writing some things down. And, of course, even then I was writing in my mind, but not really getting much chance to put things on paper. That didn't start until quite a few years ago when they were grown up. And since then, I came to Ottawa in 1985, and since then I've been writing and leading more of the writing life. And, as I say, writers never really retire and never make any money either, but that's besides the point.
Oh,
do
it's
what
a,
you love.
That's right. It's a labor of love.
Yes.
Certainly, I'm a writer as well, and I understand what you're saying. Through the central character, Wagstaff Ogog, I love that, you celebrate the freedom that comes from taking stock of your life and then making new choices to create change. Tell us about this theme and its message for you.
Well, I think it's a very common message in stories, in poetry, and it's a good message to give to children to think that something positive may happen from something that appears at first to be negative or stressful in some way.
Yes, and it very much comes across. Is it a little bit about like the one day at a time kind of thing?
I think so, too. Yes, probably.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, Wagstaff goes on quite an interesting journey. As much as it's seductive to read the story as a song, because I really felt that I could start singing it. And that's maybe the organic thing as well. You paint pictures with your words. It's just amazing. Yet the illustrations complement the rhythm, the timing, the theme. Can you tell us a little bit about the wonderful illustrator Ben Chung?
Yes, I can. He's a computer graphics artist, and he grew up in Ottawa. He was actually born in Hong Kong. His father is Chinese, and he went to the illustration program at Sheridan College and graduated from there, and he's been living and working in St. Catharines for some time now. He's married, and he has two children. The older one, Brandon, was the one who did the header and footer on the dedications page. So, and the younger one, little Jamie, is 2 years old.
Oh, very, very creative, creative family. Okay, the little fella that's 2 years old, has he read the book?
Jamie actually is a little girl.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, it's not an unusual mistake, but it's J-A-I-M-E, and I'm sure that her dad has read her the book.
Okay, and in terms of the illustrations, does Ben, did Ben think, do you know, and look at his children when he was doing the art?
I don't know if he was looking at his children. I know he thought about the pictures for a long time, and what he did was marvelous. I just said to him, go ahead and do what you think is right for this, and we just seemed to be totally on the same page all the time. So I was absolutely thrilled with what he did.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is the words. Now, the whole thing is written in rhyme, like poetry. Can you kind of help us understand that approach?
I don't know. It just fell out that way, I guess. It's hard to explain, but maybe it's because when you are writing something for children or telling them a story, you know that they're going to be pleased with rhyme. I think children are. And so you start to think in rhyme, I guess. And after you get a few lines, you really begin to get into it. And it just becomes so much fun that you have to continue that way.
Well, I you use the word fun, and I think that really screams out from the story, the fun part, because as I said, I had so much fun with it in reading it. Now, the human beings in the story, or human being, really isn't very much there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you want this to be about dog and sort of to push the human in sort of the back of the story?
I don't know, really, because although I love dogs, I don't own one. I'm more of a cat person. I grew up with cats, and now people are saying, when are you going to write the cat story? Even my cat is wondering. But dogs, I don't know. As I say, it was so long ago mm-hmm. that this happened, and I think it's just a couple of verses came to me, and I thought, oh, this is something to run away with and see what happens. So it was more of a, I think, an exercise of curiosity to begin with.
One of the things if we think of dogs, and this is so much about dogs and a very interesting, lively group of dogs at the pound, we do consider them a social animal because they have a social structure. And do you think that dog may fit in real well in terms of partying it up? And
well, I certainly saw them that way. And when I saw what Ben did with them, I thought, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Just some wonderful illustrations here when the dogs, Shasta ate sherbet and Fido ate figs, and they're all sitting around the table in the illustration, and it just reminds me of Christmas at our house.
yeah, right.
Absolutely. Wonderful, as I say, very childlike, yet very, very sophisticated artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And now, what age group do you recommend dinner at the dog pound?
Well, I think from the time children are very young, like 2 or 3, usually with publishers, they have certain categories and they say for children 3 to 7, or maybe 2 to 8. And I always say, or maybe all the way up to 98, because I've actually had people buy the book for adults, and I have had people buy the book for their dogs. And I think that's wonderful.
Oh, my goodness. What a target your audience yeah. you have. The scope is yeah. very wide. Oh, I just love it. And I think at 98, because it's so poetic, because it has such cadence, it truly does. This is the singing part. That I think you can be 98 and thoroughly enjoy it. But it is a children's book.
Yes,
and
definitely.
Quite wonderful. Now, we talked a little bit about this, but you're an award-winning poet. Can you share with us some of your other poetic endeavors?
Well, I've been writing poetry for a long time, and as I say, since I came here in 1985, I've had more of an opportunity to explore these possibilities. And I have two poetry groups, the Fieldstone Poets. We have written a lot and published a lot. Originally there were 8 of us, but 6 of us actually have put together a travel collection of poems, and it's to be published this coming fall by Bookland Press. It's called Whistle for Jellyfish. Which we lifted that title from one of the poems and thought it just seemed right for the book. We cover all aspects of travel, and it's by 6 of us there besides myself. There's Glenn Kletke, Barbara Myers, Jill Foss, Brock Curry, and Margaret Zielinski. So that's coming out in the fall. Besides that, I've published a couple of poetry books and a novel. The first poetry book that I published was actually a chapbook, and it won the 1998 Cranberry Tree Press chapbook competition. It's called Mondrian's Elephant, and it's a kind of a silly, humorous thing, too. The other book, Sleeping on the Moon, is a full collection of poetry, and Hagios Press of Saskatchewan published it in 2006, and it was runner-up for the Scott Lampman Award, and it's still selling quite well.
My goodness, you are prolific in this second life you call your writing life.
Well, you know, it always seems like too little, too late.
Well, I know we often feel that in life, but they certainly are great gifts for sharing with your community of humanity. And I haven't read some of your other poetry, but I am certainly looking forward to appreciating and enjoying it. Now, how can a listener contact you and purchase their copy of Dinner at the Dog Pound?
Well, there's several ways to order it. They can contact me at www.sylviaadamspublications.ca, or they can Google my name and come up with it that way. If they access my website, then they can click on my bio and find my e-address, or they can order directly from www.trafford.com, and Trafford is T-R-A-F-F-O-R-D, or they can email orders@trafford.com, or they can phone Trafford. There's a toll-free number, 1-888-232-4444. The cost is $10.96. Trafford is based in Indiana now, but they still produce their Canadian books through British Columbia, so the cost of shipping and handling is less. And do you want me to give the ISBN? No, okay.
We should be fine.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Sylvia, for being with us today and sharing the joy of rhyme, rhythm, and good old goggy fun.
Thank you so much, Joanne.
Dinner at the Dog Pound is a delightful story that can be enjoyed by everyone. Children can easily relate to the topic tackled in the book, including dogs, food, and friendship. The story is told in fantastic rhythm and timing, and the illustrations not only complement the words, but also cause the reader to pause and take a second, and a third look at them, because they are so filled with wit, humor, emotion, and action. I can see Dinner at the Dog Pound being read and looked at again and again.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of Authors in Their Own Right, brought to you by the Canadian Authors Association, National Capital Region. Your host has been Joanne L. Tremblay. Joanne is a personal coach, artist, photographer, broadcaster, and author of the Self-Coaching Toolbox, 6 tools for personal and professional growth and development. The Self-Coaching Toolbox is available at your local bookstore, Chapters, or can be ordered online using Joanne's website at www.potentialsmanagement.com. This is your announcer, Mark Henderson, inviting you to join us for further editions of Authors in Their Own Right. And remember, a good book is a friend that eventually turns its back on you, but still remains a friend.